Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And this is so exciting. I mean, we always talk about exciting, but I'm really... I've looked forward to this for the last couple weeks after we locked everything up. But our guest today is none other than Brianna Landis. Brianna, thank you for joining us today.
Of course. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay.
This is awesome. And for everybody out there who does not know who Brianna is, diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 4, Brianna Landis, who's now 28, has never wanted her disease to define her. Instead, she's been on a mission to make a difference. Now a scientist, advocate, and team captain of Brianna's team, she spent decades raising awareness, supporting research, and pushing for change. From Walk MS to Capitol Hill, Brianna uses her voice to connect science, community, and impact. That sums up everything, but you have such a great story, Brianna. Jennifer and I were talking this morning. We're just like, can we really get all of her story into one episode?
Yeah, I've had 28 years to do it, so good luck.
Yes.
Well, and I think the one thing that, and this is what we're really, for everyone out there in listener land, really, we brought Brianna in because we really wanted to talk about the perspective of Capitol Hill, just because it was a matter of like 4 days ago, you were on the Hill advocating for the MS community as part of the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference. How are you doing today? A couple of days removed and you're rested up, yeah?
I am rested. I feel like every time we go to the Hill, you just kind of get this incredible feeling because you're going from a room full of people that know everything there ever is to know about MS to talking to our members of Congress and their staff that may not know anything at all. So you just have all this energy that you're just so excited to share everything. And it's kind of like you get to be a teacher, but you only have 5 minutes for your class.
It's a very succinct class, and it's how we're the experts, you're right. And so we're teaching no cliff notes, just telling our story. So what issues did you all bring to the Hill this public policy conference?
So this time around, we brought two issues. So the first issue was to increase funding for the medical research, or the MS research program, which is part of a larger congressionally research program through the Department of Defense. And as you all both know, in 2025, we lost funding for that research program. And so we were able to get the funding back. And so we're looking forward to fiscal year 2027, if you can believe it. And so we were trying to get a funding increase for that one. And then the second issue that we were up there for was a little bit more, I think, robust. We didn't have an actual bill for it, but kind of just looking at what can Congress be doing for affordable health care and what are some needs that we as the patients need. And what do we want them to be doing in these conversations that they're currently having? Because it's kind of affordability, we were told, was the buzzword this congressional session.
And what was that like then, talking about the multiple sclerosis research program? Because last year, even though the funding had been approved, that was part of the funding that was put on hold or set aside, or they canceled it, really. What was the conversation like this year then to say, okay, was there a sense of like, you owe us, this is something you took off the table last year? What was the tone on Capitol Hill like that?
A few of them hadn't realized that the funding had been cut. They were like, well, we got it. And we were like, yes, but it wasn't in the year we needed. We had research that was put on hold for a year. We had scientists that were waiting for their labs to be funded. We had PhD students that went to other schools, that went to other diseases. because these MS programs were not being funded. And so it was kind of like making sure that our congressional members had the right story and understood the importance of this funding. So most of the funding does go through the MSRP, which is primarily focused on supporting our veteran community, which is about 70,000 strong with MS. And I think making sure that that really hit home. And also, I had a sort of personal story to share for the MSRP. So normally I talk about how about almost 10 years ago, I actually did MS research in a lab for about 2 years. And so I normally talk about that and what my research looked at and what we were trying to find. But this year, I actually was in the hospital about 3 weeks ago. And after I got out of the hospital, I did a biomarker blood test to see where my MS had progressed. And so that was funded through the MS research program. So being able to have a story that was so recent and be like, this money funded this program and this is how I was able, it was really exciting.
Yeah, really, that is. And we're happy. We are following your health, just everything leading up to PPC. We're happy you were able to go and advocate and have such a relevant story with this issue. And Dan and I, with the MS Society, we often use a wow, how now approach to get the issues across to legislators. And Dan and I joked that we were going to ask you to do your wow, now, how. And just to hear that story, Brianna, it's like, how can you top that?
And what was that? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
because I was just thinking, you know, because looking and, you know, following you on social media and seeing when you were in the hospital, and in my mind, I'm thinking, will she be able to make it to PPC? Was that ever in your mind when you were in the hospital, or were you thinking, I've got a doozy of a program nobody can top, or a story that I can do with my wow-how now?
It was going to take a lot for me not to go to PPC. I had a plan A, a plan B, a plan C. And it was probably about plan F or G that was me not going. PPC is one of my favorite things that we get to do in our community. And I think it's so important, but our health is also important. But I feel like when you go to the hospital, it's not like you're expecting it. It kind of happens very quickly. But I was like, I've got time. I've got a couple weeks. So, you know, if it was really bad, a scooter, if my eyes were still acting up, I had my sunglasses, like where to take breaks, like how to schedule the meetings. I had a whole plan that I thankfully didn't really have to enact, except for I took lots of naps. I was taking lots of naps through the whole conference.
Wow. Yeah. That self-care is so important. And the MS Society does a fantastic job providing breaks and places to rest. And they're cognizant, obviously, of how exhausting that is. So kudos to you that you were able to be there and advocate. Again, thank you.
And I think that's something I wanted to ask then too, because I, you know, Jennifer and I have gone and it pained us to not be able to go this year. But, you know, after I recovered from surgery, we just weren't going to be strong enough to make transfers to travel and stuff. But I'll ask you then, for everyone out there listening, you said that I'm not going to miss PPC, and you had, like, it wasn't until like plan F that you would miss it. Why is PPC so important to you, and why would I, as somebody who's not maybe active in advocacy, why should I get involved? Why would I want to get involved?
I think in order to fully answer that question, I have a pretty good example from being on one of my Hill meetings.
Please.
I had a meeting with a congressman that I've met with multiple times, and we don't always agree, but they always listen, which I'm very appreciative of. And they were discussing healthcare and healthcare affordability, accessibility, which is, you know, like I said, a very hot topic. And he was like, well, I want you to know that the patients are always in the center of the conversation, whether we're talking to the insurance companies or the doctors or the PBMs or anything like that. And I was like, How would you feel if everybody's talking about you behind your back? You need to be talking to the actual patient like you and I are talking about now, because you've said before that the stories that we bring are really what help you in these meetings. And he kind of took a second, which I was surprised by, and he said, I never really thought about it that way. And they ended up changing a small portion, but they still did, within the hour, change the speech they were giving later that afternoon about how, like, we needed more patient-centered care. And he was like, I don't know if we're going to be able to bring the patient into these meetings, but he was like, you've brought up a great point. And I think that's the point, is like, sharing your story is really the only way you're going to get it through. Because if you can make up statistics and list out bullet points, but at the end of the day, people are really visual learners.
And auditory learners as well, to hear that story. And I think that's a perfect segue. If you don't mind, Brianna, will you share with the listeners your story?
Of course.
Yeah.
So the short version is, when I was 4 years old, I started getting really bad headaches. And when they didn't get any better, my mom took me to the pediatrician, where they did an eye test, and I could not even see the big E. So it took about a year and a couple spinal taps and MRIs, and they finally decided that even though kids couldn't get MS, they were pretty sure that I had MS. And up until, and then it took a while for getting a neurologist to believe me or see me or try to figure out the medication. I ended up getting a really incredible neurologist, and he actually took one of the medications. There was only like three available at the time. And he grabbed one of the syringes and he drew a line in Sharpie on it. And that was what my first dose was, because we were kind of just doing math at that point, my weight and what we thought it was. And so then I started my MS walk team after seeing an ad for the MS walk on the TV in the hospital. We started my team that we called Brianna's Team, and we were one of the biggest teams on the East Coast for a little while, and now the teams are massive. A couple of years later, I was asked to be on the Montel Williams Show, where I got to share my story and tell the world that kids could get MS, which was really awesome and really cool.
Yes.
And so it's kind of just evolved from there. In college, like I said before, I got to do research on MS, was super cool. And now I'm a scientist for a drug company, and I get to do cool stuff there. But I kind of like having one part of my life that's not completely MS-centered. So that's kind of how I've kept it now. But the rest of my life, we're finding a cure. And and then I got involved in advocacy in college kind of randomly, and I just fell in love, and I've been doing it from there and meet incredible people like you all. So
thank you. Yeah. Just Dan and I were remarking, like, on our last episode, just that he and I have both lived with MS half of our life. And then we talked to you, and I'm like, oh, shut up. You know, Brianna's been, that's like your life. And that's just incredible. Were your parents, I mean, as parents who are listening, who may have children with MS, were they really devastated, or were they just like, we're taking this on, we're attacking this beast?
I think that they did a really good job of hiding that side of it from me, if you will, because now, like, I'll hear some things from my mom about like how terrified she was, because they had no idea what was wrong with me, and I had no idea. The things that I really remember are when I got my first spinal tap, we all sang Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog together. When I was preparing for my first MRI, post-hospital, my mom took me to a Burger King, and we went out to the playground, and she took some sticks and banged them on the tunnel slide, and she was the MRI, and I had to stay still. So, you know.
Wow, that's, she's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and so those are like the things that I remember, and I just remember, like, you know, people hyping me up. Now, giving shots, that's no fun, and they used to have to give me my shots. So yeah, but even that, like, you know, it was at bedtime, it was a whole routine. But yeah, so for parents, I think just, you know, tell your kids in a way that they'll try to understand. Child life specialists are incredible. And you know, whatever I got, my bear got too. So if I got a shot, my bear got a shot, you know.
That's nice. That's a good tip.
That was a great tip. Now I'm just, what was your bear's name?
Baseball bear.
Love it.
Very creative, you know.
But it sticks. I mean, yes. Love it. I guess I, you know, looking at this then, as you talk then about, you know, you're 4 years old when you're diagnosed, and I was doing the math. I'm thinking, okay, 4, 8. It's like, you know, half my life. It's like you've done 6 times your life living with MS. And so then what, now I'll drop this here and for everyone out there in listener land, Brianna recently did a TED talk, and we will have a link in the show notes to this so you can watch her. And it was really good, Brianna. I mean,
yeah,
it was really solid, but we'll have that there. But something that you mentioned there, and as we talked then about PPC and research, blah, 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 how important is it then for you in terms of research pushing for pediatric MS research?
I think it's the most important place, because just think about catching MS early, and you know how, for me, like, MS is pretty normal. It wasn't some life-shattering bombshell in my 20s, and there is something to be thankful for that. There's almost like a routine, if you will. But I think that we're getting a lot more kids diagnosed now, which is both a blessing and a curse. And I think that most of the time we don't do research under the age of 18. I know when I was little, I'd always be like, get me in the research study. You need to study me. Like, it's important to study me because the doctors don't believe me. And they were like, you can't, you're not 18 yet. And I think that we finally have one drug approved by the FDA for pediatric MS, but I'm hearing a lot of people in the MS community that drug isn't working for them. And so I think that, you know, and it's scary. Like, my mom had the Sharpie drawn on the syringe. Like, no other kid should have to do that. So I just can only imagine, like, what all of those parents are going through. Like, it's already scary enough hearing about this disease, and now you got to think about, like, well, the one drug that's approved isn't working. Like, what drug should we try now? Like, why aren't those approved for kids? And it's mainly just because it's scary to do research on kids.
I never even thought about that, because we've talked about in the past that certain medications, certain disease modifying therapies work for some people, and others don't. But they have options. But to be a child and then to have a medication that won't work, that would be really frustrating. So you're right. That is an avenue that definitely needs to be explored. And as a scientist, do you think about working in that area? Or do you, like you said, do you just want some aspect of your life not focused on multiple sclerosis?
I genuinely think it depends on the day when you ask me, but I do think that at least right now, it's exciting to be in the space where amazing things are happening. Mm-hmm. But there's also a part of me that kind of enjoys, like, not being completely, like, in MS in this one area. And I think finding, like, those small breaks, like, as long as I can, is a little bit exciting. It's kind of like, oh, like, it's just Brianna. Like, it's not Brianna and she has MS and she's awesome, which, I mean, thank you, but it's just like, oh, it's just Brianna and she's doing her job.
Yeah.
So
And you being a young woman, and it's been a while. It's been a second since I was a young woman. What is it like?
No,
it's... what's it like to navigate? I mean, like I said, it's been a second. What's it like to navigate the world with a chronic illness? And yes, you are awesome. But that's like, do you just pack that in a purse? Like, that's just a little part of me? Or how do you handle that? And I'm sure the next question, which I'm going to dovetail, is dating, social life. How are you handling that?
Yeah, I know. You sound like my friends. But so I guess I'll tackle the first part, which is just like being a young person with MS. I know that when I was navigating, like getting a job for the first time, a lot of people were asking me, like, are you going to disclose that you have MS? Like, are you going to do this? And I was like, I don't really think I have a choice, like, not to have an ego at all. But if you Google my name, like, it's the first thing you're going to see.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's, I mean, we can both act like it's not the elephant in the room, but it's there. So it's kind of just like one of those things where I'm, and that way I can tell my story how I want to tell it. Mm-hmm. I can be like, I have MS. Like, this is what we're going to be dealing with. This is what I need from you. Is that good for you? Okay, great for me. And if it wasn't good, it wasn't the right fit. And then for social life and dating, I think social life aspect, I have great friends. Some of them are in the chronic illness. And so they understand, like, if I'm not going out every night, not that I do in general, but like, it's like I have to recharge. Like, if I have to, I don't know, usually I'll like look at, that's why my Google Calendar is color coded and beautiful, because I have to be able to see weeks in advance to know, like, okay, when am I going to rest? Like, when am I going to recharge? Because I'm also an introvert. So being an introvert that's chronically ill, I feel like adds a whole nother level. On Wednesday, the day after the public policy conference, I didn't talk at all. I didn't talk to anybody. I was like, I hate people today. And then as far as dating, I feel like that one's been kind of a struggle for me, because I feel like there's a lot of things I have to look for that I didn't think about. Like, there was this one guy and he was utterly terrified of needles, and he refused to like go with me when I got my infusion. And I was like, this isn't really something I ever thought of before, but this is something that's really important to me. I'm like, this is something that's gonna be with me for the rest of my life. Like, this disease, like, I got the disease first, but like, you're gonna have to be along for the ride too. Like, my sister, hey, she hates needles too, but she can still turn around and hold my hand. Like, she's still gonna be there. So like, it's just, and there's also like a scarier part of that where it's like, at some point, like, maybe will they have to be like a caretaker for me as well, like a care part, like, you know. And so that's, I feel like sometimes I think about it like too much, and that's why I struggle in that realm. But it's also something that's like really important to my life.
And I think it's really important, and you're not alone. I'm sure there are other people, other younger people like yourselves that just to explore that reality or to come to terms to accept that yes, this is part of your life and this is going to have to be. You know, Dan and I, we often joked we were pretty lucky because we met each other and we knew that we had the disease. But now to talk with someone like yourself, yeah, absolutely, that is a blessing. And I think you're 100% correct that, you know, you need somebody that can handle this and deal with this and to look forward like that. So don't settle. We always say,
don't exactly. Settle.
No. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. We didn't even talk about that, you know.
Oh, it's good.
No, things. I thought of it.
Well, it's like we're talking to you. And I mean, okay, let me ask just off the top of your head, do you know how many years you've gone to PPC?
I've been going since 2017. Okay. And I've only missed 1 year since then.
And go ahead.
Math's hard. Can't remember, right? Oh, yeah. Close to 10 years, yeah. Almost.
Well, and I think that, you know, I'm just coming back full circle because I'm just thinking, you know, because we've been going pretty much about that same time, you know, because we, and it's just like, so then I'm thinking, well, how many times have we interacted with you, how many times have we had dinner? Had we eaten? Had we, you know, talking on the hill? And I'm thinking some of the questions we've just never thought to ask because, you know, I feel like I'm going back, but it's building on the same thing. It's just like, you know, that if you, as you know, there were no disease modifying therapies for pediatrics. Yeah, I was going to say for kids, but it's just like, so then, you know, if I'm diagnosed when I was diagnosed at 27, at least at that point in time, there were 3 disease modifying therapies for people with MS. So it's just like, did you get like a super pass to say, okay, well, she's younger and she should be able to take these? Or did you just go the whole time of your youth until you turned 18 that you just basically had nothing?
So it's a lot of trial and error. So I was diagnosed 2001, 2002. So it was still just the ABCs. Mm-hmm. And so those 3. And my aunt just happened to be a drug rep. So that was very helpful in navigating that whole process. Mm-hmm. And but it was like basically relapse tracking. So I got my shot of beta-seron every other day. And until I was around 7, I had another relapse. And then we increased the dose, but we kept with beta-seron. And then up until I was, I think, in college is when I started having a pretty bad reaction to that medication. And so I switched to Tecfidera, and it was horrible. I just had every single side effect listed on the back of the package happen to my body. And so I was like, I can't do this again. And the neurologist I had at the time was like, just drop your major. And I was like, no, thank you. I would like to drop this medication. And maybe you're the doctor as well. And so then that's...
don't settle. Good job.
Exactly. And so then... I was seeing a really great neurologist, and that's when I switched to Ogrivis, which being a busy college student, it was amazing because it was like spring break and fall break. And then now with my job, you know, my neurologist made it so I can get it at home. So nice. I just, you know, because I don't have a center near my house, like anywhere, the only close place to get it is like a cancer center, and it's not good. So it's really nice to just get it in my home.
That is convenient. That's very nice.
Yeah.
I think those were that just kind of registered with me. And then I guess, you know, for this year, I mean, so the 10th year with PPC, anything new and exciting, or anything that happened this year that was different from previous years? It's just like, wow, I guess I didn't realize that before.
Well, from a personal standpoint, being able to talk about the blood test that I got that was mm-hmm. funded by the actual program was super cool. But I think every year it's kind of like a different climate on the hill. You never really know what you're going to get. Some years people are so excited to talk to you, and some years people aren't as excited, or they, you know, they are setting a timer for your meeting, and then when the alarm goes off, you go. But I think this year, I don't know, it felt like people really took the time to sit with us and listen from both sides, which doesn't always happen. And I think the climate was more, we had issues that people were really excited about. And I think that were pertinent. And I also think it helped that it was it's a voting year. And I feel like that also changes the whole environment, which is probably why everybody's like, oh yeah, we'll talk to everybody.
And that's why it's so important, is it is a voting year. And that's why this advocacy is so important, and why, you know, we've talked, Brianna, about Walk MS, which is coming up. And I don't know about your state, but then state, you know, state action days,
yes,
where you can go and talk about MS issues at your state capitol. So now we're coming into the spring. You know, we're in Michigan and we want warm weather. I don't know about you, if you want warmer weather. And just because the spring will be busy, are you anticipating a busy spring for yourself?
Yes. I was looking at my calendar and I was like, goodness gracious. So normally it usually goes March, April, May is pretty MS heavy. And then I kind of take a break there for a little while. And
okay.
Yeah, depending on how I'm feeling, like I will help with August recess, or if I'm just not feeling up to it, I ask to take a step back. But I participate in a dog MS walk, and they make a doggy calendar every year that my family's four dogs are always in. And so I do that MS walk, and then I do the walk MS walk, and then of course State Action Day shortly after that. So it's just kind of like boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Well, I mean, that's good. And that's a great idea for like a do-it-yourself kind of fundraiser for the society. Thank you. I'm going to tuck that in my memory bank again.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds very fun. And just, you know, incorporating two of our favorite things, you know, walk with our friends and family and dogs. How can you go wrong? So I suppose we want to be mindful of your time, but we've talked about a lot. Is there anything that you didn't cover that you were kind of hoping we would touch on?
No, but if there's any other questions that you have, you can go for it.
You open the door, I'm jumping on it.
You're fine. Go for it.
Well, no, because I do. I think because you are such a powerful activist, and I know that, you know, something you're always big on the videos and the TikToks and everything, and just mm-hmm. whatever you had this year with you and the other guy, and just everything, just rambling through a meeting with a legislator. I mean, just those kinds of things. And I remember you coming around the 1 year, just interviewing everybody, getting perspectives and everything. So I'll flip the table on that, and just ask you then, I mean, for somebody out there who is thinking or is afraid of advocacy, I mean, because I really wasn't eager to do it because I'm thinking, I don't know about legislator, I don't know legal things, I don't know what they're doing and talking about it in Congress. What would you tell somebody who's unsure of that and thinking it's overwhelming and too big of a commitment?
I think I would probably tell them that there are so many different ways to be involved in advocacy. You don't have to be the person that goes on Capitol Hill, but you can be the person that sends the email that everybody else gets to send, or you can be the person that writes a quick letter or tells your neighbor about MS. I always think that, you know, sometimes like sharing my story with a random person isn't going to, you know, completely change their life, but it helped me prepare me for when I go to Congress and start telling my story there. But I'll have people come back years later that, you know, I don't really know them that well. And they'll be like, hey, my friend just got diagnosed with MS. Will you talk to them? Or, hey, my daughter just got MS and she's 16 and we're really scared. Mm-hmm. And those people, even though like I just had that one conversation with them years and years ago, they felt comfortable enough to come to me, and, you know, I could be that person for them that I kind of wish I had way back in the day, because there wasn't any other kiddos.
No.
So I think that, you know, even if you just start sharing your story with, you know, your neighbor, and you don't share with anybody else, that's okay. But it kind of helps you sort of get into advocacy without even thinking about it, if you will. But once you start sharing your story and you see the impact that it can make, then it makes it a lot easier to make those sort of bigger steps and explain to your congressional members like why this is important and why we're doing it matters. Because I mean, when you've done it almost 10 years, you kind of start to wonder, like, is the work that I'm doing, does it really matter? And I think that when we lost the MS research funding, we saw just what an incredible impact it did have, and the impact of losing it was detrimental to so many places and people.
Yeah.
So yeah, advocacy is so important, and even if you're scared, you can do it. I promise.
And then likewise, look at the impact we had to get the funding back. Like, look at how strong our voices were. And I was just only saying that about being respectful of your time, because we know you just got back from Capitol Hill not just a couple days ago. But I have to ask, One really quick question. You have such a good fashion game. It's not a game, but like you represent the orange. You bring it. Are you constantly on the lookout for fun orange clothing accessories? I mean, I think that's like a really good way to make yourself like make multiple sclerosis kind of known or your signature. I don't know how to say it.
I was always scared of the orange in the beginning. And, you know, I blame other people because everybody kept telling me how good I looked in it. And so then I was like, you know what? Like peer pressure works. And I love a good thrift. And so most of my orange is thrifted. However, the orange suit that I wore this year, it was on clearance at Belk's.
And that was sharp. That was very nice. We saw pictures. That was very nice. And then one more question. What do you hope? I mean, having lived with MS for a humongous portion of your life and being young, what do you hope for in the future? What would you like to see?
Well, besides, you know, the nitty gritty of a cure, I think, you know, I really just want some research that helps us remyelinate, some research on what really causes the disease. Because, you know, one thing about being diagnosed so young is I would get re-diagnosed almost every time I switched doctors. And I kind of thought that once I hit my 20s, that would, you know, I'd be done with that. But even this past time around, there's still a running test to make sure that it's MS.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, I still technically don't have my official diagnosis again. And so, like, you know, it's just one of those things. I feel like it kind of causes an identity crisis every couple years. You know, you think you got it all figured out. So having a way to make like it very specific, and we are getting closer. Like it's getting a lot better than what it was.
Right.
But, and making sure that we're making sure that our MS isn't, you know, costing as much as our mortgage. So going to the hospital isn't, you know, making your blood pressure go up because you're just terrified waiting for the bill to come. So,
yeah. So affordable treatments and that's just really, it's beautiful kind of. It's not greedy. It's just very truthful what you'd like to see in the future with our MS. Mm-hmm. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, Brianna, this has been just absolutely incredible, but I do think we need to plan on something in the future because you have such a story. It's almost like we got the high level. I mean, we got it's, but I mean, you've done so much, and I mean, we could do something even just lessons and TikTok and social media with chronic illnesses and stuff. And but thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and give your insights. And we'll have more information about Brianna and links in the show notes. And you can learn more about her work. And the link to the TED Talk was just really cool. So we'll have that. And so, Brianna, thank you so much.
And
thank you guys.
And you're welcome. And thank you. And once again, we're a couple takes on MS. I'm Jennifer Digman and I'm rolling.
And I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
But together, we're moving forward.
Take care.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
And be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes.
Email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com and follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com.
Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.